Good morning, 3CR. I'm so honoured to be with you again today. I'm recording from Reading Family Church. I was connected to them through Urban Life Friends, who are now members here. And Reading Family Church is part of the New Frontiers family of churches, which was started by Terry Virgo, whom so many of you know and love. He's been a great friend to Rory and to 3CR. So it all just kind of feels like family, and I'm so grateful to them just for their kindness in allowing me this space. So happy Mother's Day. It was actually Mother's Day here in the UK in March. For some reason, it's different here, so I'm just milking it twice. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 9 today, which is quite cool because you're probably watching this on the 9th of May. An idea, if you're ever at a bit of a loss as to what to read in your Bible, an atomic habit you could try is just to turn to the book of Proverbs. There are 31 chapters, one for each day of the month, and that will just take the decision out of it for you and get you straight into God's Word. Proverbs 9 starts like this: wisdom has built her house. Wisdom has built her house. If you've been joining us online or you've been journeying with 3CR in any way for the past many months, you will know that we've been in the midst of building an incredible house. And in fact, we're 3 weeks away from celebrating the closing of that chapter and just going, right, that's it, we've done it. We've built a new church home. Now let's see how God will fill this space for His kingdom and glory. And let me tell you, wisdom has built her house. And I want to take a moment just to honor the leadership of 3CR and the staff for the way they've managed this enormous project in crazy difficult times. They have built with wisdom. And I want to honor you, 3CR family, for wisely managing your finances in ways that have allowed you to give generously. You've built with wisdom. And we'll see now that wisdom is personified in this passage. She's a woman who firstly has wisely created a strong home, and secondly, she's invited people to an elaborate feast. And we say, oh, that's so fitting for Mother's Day, because stereotypically moms, you know, create homes and feed people. But actually, it's much deeper, much wider than that. And really, it's very fitting for every day and for all of us, moms and non-moms, because God calls every one of us to build a life of wisdom so that we can bless the world. And Mother's Day is great. I mean, I always need chocolates, obviously, and it's nice to be thanked and appreciated and all those good things. But my boys are so lovely. They tell me often that I'm the best mom they've ever had, you know, which is something. But actually, the love tank of my mom heart is full. The gift that I really need on Mother's Day is wisdom. I know that I need to build my home with wisdom so that our home can be a blessing to our kids and others. And I know you need that too. Because I really don't know what I'm doing a lot of the time. Like, I kind of just make it up as I go along. Mostly I still feel like a kid myself. I still need a lot of parenting. So I'm just begging God for wisdom. And it's just such a massive happy relief that in James chapter 1, God promises to give wisdom to those who ask. Simple as that. And in Proverbs 9, we get a beautiful picture of what that wisdom looks like and tastes like, and the repercussions of wisdom in our lives and the lives around us. So Lady Wisdom builds a home and invites others to benefit from it. So we're looking at building and blessing. Let's read from verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has carved its seven columns. She has prepared a great banquet, mixed the wines, and set the table. She has sent her servants to invite everyone to come. She calls from the heights overlooking the city. Come in with me, she urges the simple. To those who lack good judgment, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways behind and begin to live. Learn to use good judgment. Skip down to verse 9. Instruct the wise and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous and they will learn even more. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. If you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. And then at the end of the chapter, Solomon contrasts Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, this woman of foolishness and ignorance and brashness. And he just kind of describes the trail of destruction that she leaves in her wake. And obviously none of us want to be stupid. None of us want to lead destructive lives. So for moms, for everyone, wisdom is about building and blessing. So we've been in the process of building a new home here in England. We moved into our own place 2 weeks ago, and it's exciting and it's difficult to forge a new life, to build new foundations in foreign soil. And so we've needed buckets of wisdom. But adventures are always difficult and exciting, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be adventures. And being a mom is an adventure. It's difficult. It's exciting. And so we need to adventure well, and we need wisdom for that. So just to share a cool story, we've moved into a Victorian terraced house on De Montfort Road in Reading. It's in a cul-de-sac, and at the end of the road is the River Thames. So we can actually see the river if we stand at our little front garden gate. And sometimes there are swans in the road where we need to parallel park. To be honest, I haven't really parallel parked since I got my driver's license, and now with swans, you know, so it's seriously different to anything we've ever experienced, anything we're used to. But we found this place after looking at dozens and dozens of places, and it's tiny, and really, like, you don't see a lot of obese British people, and I really think they can't be obese because otherwise they wouldn't fit into their houses. You know, so it's really tiny, but it's quite lovely, and we thought, you know, for a season, we can make this work, we can make it home, and it's all part of the adventure. But before we'd signed on the place, I was kind of wondering and worrying a little bit, like, is this tall, skinny house really the right place for us? And one night I didn't sleep much, and the name of the street was just kind of rolling around in my thoughts, like De Montfort, De Montfort. And it's French. It means of the strong mountain, right, or strong rock. And we get our words fort and fortress from the French fort. It also means loud in French. So I got up the next morning, and there was a message from my friend, Lene, and she said she'd woken up and my name and this scripture had just filled her mind, and she knew that she needed to send it to me. And it was this, Psalm 18, verse 2 from the Amplified Bible. It says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my keen and firm strength in whom I will trust and take refuge, my shield and the horn," it's pretty loud, "of my salvation, my high tower." When we went to Mozambique in 2019 with a team of amazing people from 3CI, part of suffering for the gospel on that mission trip was that we got to swim in the sea, which was wonderful. The one day, the waves were really, really rough, and I was not coping. Like, a wave would just knock me over and tumble me completely so that I didn't even know, like, which way was up. You know, and eventually, I'm gasping for breath, I'd kind of almost make it to the surface and almost make it to my feet, and another wave would just come and knock me over and tumble me all over again. And I clearly remember Clint standing in the waves laughing at me, but I've forgiven him. But life has felt a little bit like that lately, being knocked and tumbled by wave upon massive wave. And so the scripture that Lene sent and this house, which is starting to feel a little more like home every day, have been God's reminder to me that He is our rock and our refuge, our fortress, our deliverer, our strong mountain, our high tower, and in Him we will not be knocked off our feet. And perhaps you've felt a little bit like that lately as a mom, a dad, a single person, a kid, you know, like just when you think you might be finding your feet, something or someone just blindsides you and knocks you off balance, and you're scrambling to stand. Wisdom builds a strong house. Ask God for more and more wisdom. He will not get cross with us for asking and asking. Let's let our kids hear us praying out loud for wisdom so that they learn to pray for wisdom too, because they will need to build strong houses of their own when the waves come. So if you're overwhelmed or heartbroken because a mom is only ever as happy as her unhappiest kid, right? Keep swimming for the rock that is higher than you. Keep aiming for the house built with wisdom, the house built on that strong rock. Let's take a closer look at the house Lady Wisdom built. Solomon writes, "Wisdom has built her house. She has carved its seven columns." So this is a big, sturdy house. This is a fortress. This house is not easily shaken. It's held up by pillars. And there's some speculation as to what these seven columns refer to, or these seven pillars. In my Bible, there's a cross-reference to Ephesians 2 from verse 20. It says, "Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit." So this is just a stunning picture of unity, isn't it? We know for sure that Jesus is building his church. Matthew 16, verse 18. We also know that in Jesus lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2, verse 3. So we know that he is building his church with infinite, flawless wisdom. Like, what a relief. You know, even though he's using us in the church building process, and we definitely don't have flawless, infinite wisdom, it's still such a relief that Jesus is actually in charge of the building project. And this is true for building our homes as well. Psalm 127 starts with, "Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted." It's like, don't even bother trying to do it in your own strength or with, you know, wisdom you think you have. And you know, we say this all the time at 3CR, when you're in trouble, run to the church. And we can say that because Jesus is building his church with wisdom. Run to the church, swim for the rock, head for that high tower built on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Back to the seven pillars. Other commentators suggest that since the number seven in scripture often indicates completeness, perhaps this passage indicates that the application of wisdom results in a complete, orderly, well-furnished house, one that lacks nothing. I mean, sure, isn't that the dream? A complete, orderly, well-furnished house that lacks nothing. We don't even have a couch yet. And in fact, we had friends, brand new friends, over for lunch this past weekend, and we asked if they could please bring their own cutlery. As moms, we create the weather in our homes, right? We know this, you know, whether you live in Moycliff or Mamelodi or De Montfort Road, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, you know, happy wife, happy life, all these things we say. And we say them because they're kind of true. Because it's not about how we build our homes or our churches in the natural. It's about how we build in the spiritual. And it's nice to have nice things like beauty and warmth and comfort and cutlery are important. And they're part of God's blessings to us in the life that he has created for us on this planet. But building our homes with wisdom, creating homes that are rocks people can swim to, it has everything to do with who we are, not just what we have around us. So a while ago, I came across this concept that, well, people use words to describe us. I mean, I know, it's profound. But when people hear your name or talk about you or mention you in a meeting or just think about you, certain words come to mind that they would use to describe you. So what would you love for those words to be? How do you wish that people would describe you? So I chose seven words, seven adjectives, seven pillars, if you like. And my phone beeps a reminder once a day that just says seven words. And I try to stop whatever I'm doing and just reset and remind myself, like, hang on, who do I want to be for those around me? And then I kind of say and pray my seven words. And mostly I repent because I've been the opposite of my seven words. But I've chosen seven words that make more of God and less of me. And I hope they're words that people will use, that my husband will use, that my kids will use to describe me, you know, when they think of me or talk about me. And it's like, well, newsflash, they already have words that they use to describe me. So I figured, well, why not choose the words that I would want them to describe me with and then live those words and pray into them and choose to behave in ways that would lead others to describe me in that way. So when your name comes up, what do people immediately think or say? Maybe you're 16 and you're sitting next to your mom on the couch right now, and maybe you're on your phone pretending not to listen because church is so lame. What words come to mind when you think of your mom? What words do you think come to mind when she thinks of you? And how would you love for people to describe you? You know, I don't think anyone dreams of being known as arrogant, selfish, irritable. You know, I think we'd all much rather be called kind, brave, generous. And I mean, there are thousands of adjectives. Just think about it. And this is really just an idea. You could choose 3 words. You could choose 11 words. You don't have to choose words at all. You do you. But be intentional. Be intentional about building some pillars in your house. Pardon me. About building some pillars in your house so that when people swim to the rock and take shelter in your home, they will be safe and able to stand. I know I've said this before in a preach, but I really believe so much of parenting is about discerning between grit and grace. And maybe you could think of grit and grace as 2 of the pillars in your house built by wisdom. And by that, I mean it's asking ourselves, is this a grit moment or a grace moment for my kid? Is the wisest thing here to show grace because that will lead to greater faith, greater fruitfulness? Or is the wisest thing to build grit into my child because that will lead to the fruit of perseverance, courage, resilience? And in our current circumstances, I find myself doing, you know, all sorts of elastical, flexible maneuvering between grit and grace more than ever. And it's scary because we are not elastical. We do not have superpowers. We are just human moms, and we will get it wrong often. But as Raw said last week so beautifully, we don't have to be scared. We don't have to be scared because the fear of God eradicates all other fear. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and wisdom will help us to build well. So some days grit is called for, and the narrative in our home has been, come on guys, we are South African, not South Afrikaant, and we don't just quit when things are hard, and I really believe you've got it in you to take another step, to do another day, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And some days grace has been called for, and we've said, boy, we have heard your cry for help, and we will rescue you by taking you out of this school and putting you into another school, which, true story, really happened for one of our boys this week. Because God, our Heavenly Father, leans in to rescue us, doesn't he? And we really want our parenting to reflect that, and there's a time for that. But the only way to know what's called for, like, is it going to produce more fruit to go with grit or with grace? The only way to know which way to go is to lean into God with total dependence, total surrender, reverence, and awe. The kind of brokenness and humility that comes when you've reached the end of yourself and all your good ideas. because fearing him is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Verse 2 of Proverbs 9 says that wisdom has prepared a great banquet. She has set the table. So wisdom is intentional and prepared and habitual. She's built some culture into her home, like setting the table to gather people. And this is not a works righteousness thing, but wisdom is front-footed, right? James says to us, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask for it. You need to ask God for wisdom. So could we build some choices into our lives to be a blessing to others? I mean, maybe you literally need to be more intentional about setting the table with whatever cutlery you have, to gather people, because we build kingdom around dining room tables, don't we? But again, it's deeper and it's wider than that. It's much more a character thing than a cutlery thing. Some commentators see the 7 pillars as describing a traditional banquet pavilion, which would fit because in verse 5, wisdom invites us to a feast. And this is our second point. We move from building to blessing. And I want to talk a little bit about what it might look like for wise moms and wise other people to be a blessing in our homes and our workspaces, our church communities, our cities. And I think it's interesting that Solomon doesn't say wisdom has prepared a balanced meal for a few close friends because her dining room table can only seat 8. No, wisdom prepares a great banquet. It says in verse 2, and she sends her people out to invite everyone. Verse 3 says, she calls from the heights overlooking the city. So she's a woman of influence. She has a platform and she uses it to call anyone who will listen to the truth so that they might be blessed. And we all naturally go, oh, but I don't have influence. Oh, of course you do. If you know one other human and you have a pulse, you have agency for influence. When you're driving your kids somewhere and they blurt out the big, difficult questions from the back seat because it's less embarrassing that way, they don't have to look at you, you have enormous, enormous influence in those moments. So let's pray for each other. Let's pray for wisdom to call our children, from the heights overlooking the city. Not so that our kids can tune us and say, you know, sure, Mom, is it cold up there on the moral high ground? But just perhaps because we have a vantage point, a perspective of wisdom and truth. Solomon says, wisdom prepares a great banquet. Now, the cultural spin for moms, and again, most of us, is that we're supposed to live a balanced life, right? And there's some truth in that and some wisdom in that for sure. Like, absolutely, we should all try and eat our 5 a day and be healthy because a balanced diet will help us cope with the demands of life. But I'm not sure, and I say this with caution, I'm not sure that I really like the idea of living a balanced life. To me, a balanced life sounds mediocre. It sounds like a kind of just a good enough spread of bustlings and doings so that I can say, well, I filled up my hours on earth with, you know, dishing up a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Except, was I ever really satisfied or effective? Also, a balanced life sounds to me like the whip of unrealistic expectations. When I scoop flour onto my kitchen scale for whatever I'm baking, you know, I scrutinize the needle, like too much, too little, does the flour measure up? And this is the question that haunts moms, that haunts women everywhere. Like, do I measure up? Am I too much, too little? Am I balanced? Because our culture has sold us a lie and we've believed it, that we can do it all, have it all, be it all, balance it all, and win at life. Except the truth for men and for women is that yes, we can do anything. We can't do everything, and certainly not everything all at once with our sanity intact. So I'm thinking, what if we push aside the kitchen scale and reach for the fruit bowl? Because actually, God doesn't call us to be balanced. He calls us to be fruitful. And please hear this, it's not wise to battle for balance all your life. It's wise to bear fruit for a banquet table that others can feast from. I've never weighed my fruit bowl, right? I've never scrutinized it analytically and thought, too much, too little, does it measure up? You know, if I've just stocked up in the fruit and veg aisle of Pick and Pay and now Tesco, and the fruit bowl is piled high with ripe pickings, you know, it just makes me feel grateful and rich, not overwhelmed or unbalanced. So how might wisdom and fruitfulness prevail against this barrage of expectations that we all face to be balanced and brilliant at it? You know, is it even possible to steady the loads of marriage and motherhood and marketplace and still find time to meet with God? Because it's in that secret place that we will find wisdom. Again, verse 10, fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Verse 6 says, leave your simple ways behind and begin to live. Learn to use good judgment. I mean, isn't that an incredible invitation? Like, begin to live. Real living starts with wisdom, not with finding some other impossible equilibrium or learning to juggle better. Verse 11 and 12, Solomon says, wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. If you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. So it's like, you know, why would we not pursue wisdom? Why would we not run hard after wisdom with everything we've got and grab hold of it? It can only do us good. It can only bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. So, you know, it's this concept of, you know, you wouldn't put the pineapples on top of the grapes in your fruit bowl, right? That would be unwise because the grapes would get squashed. You would put the big fruit in the bowl first. and perhaps to be wise so that we can bless others with a banquet of fruit from our homes and our lives. Perhaps we need to discern our priorities for the season we're in. Like, what's the main thing? What's the big fruit in your bowl? And balance of some sort, you know, juggling our different responsibilities. Of course, that will always be required of us. But wisdom needs to precede that, you know, and it's really okay to allow a patch of land in your life to lie fallow for a season and for greater future fruit harvests. So like there'll be seasons in which your kids may need you a little less, which will free you up to focus more on your career. There will be seasons in which your husband will need you more, which might mean saying not now to certain opportunities for work or ministry or volunteering or whatever it is. Life is short, absolutely. But life is also long. There is enough time to do God's will. It's really okay to put something down for a bit in order to prioritize something else and actually bear proper fruit so that we have something to share with the world. Friends, Jesus didn't set us free so that we could, you know, tick the boxes of a balanced life and wear our frenetic multitasking like a badge of honor. Paul tells us in Galatians that Jesus set us free for freedom. And he goes on in Galatians 5 to tell us that the love response of a life lived free is fruit. And we don't eat our own fruit, right? You know, love, kindness, patience, faithfulness. Those things only make sense as they relate to others. You know, and sure, it's more blessed to give than to receive. But we need to give our fruit away to benefit from it in any way. You know, it's for others to feast on for the glory of God. So I want to close by saying that I'm so grateful to the moms of 3CR who are calling out from the heights overlooking the city in beautiful, powerful ways. I'm so grateful for what I've learned and continue to learn from you. And I want to encourage any mom listening, would you pray for wisdom? Would you pray for the courage to invite people to feast from the fruit that you're bearing so that our homes would become microcosms of the church built to bless the world? For the glory of God and for his kingdom. Amen.